I'm going to be reading from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 31. And that's at the beginning of the Bible on page 3. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 31. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it, and it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear," and it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years, and let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." So God created the great creature of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food, and to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day.
I do keep that open in front of you. Question to think about is, what does it mean to be human? It's a good question and one that lies beneath so many of our current debates. So looking on the BBC website, news website today, there was a picture of Nicola Sturgeon, and underneath the headline said this: should 16-year-olds be allowed to change their legal sex? At the heart of the gender recognition debate is the question, what does it mean to be human? Or what about in the workplace, where you probably have an EDI policy, that is equality, diversity and inclusion? Someone said to me recently that they were asked at the start of a meeting, please can you all let each other know what is your preferred pronoun that you want used? In other words, how do you want to be addressed? What does it mean to be human? At the heart of the debate in the Church of England when it comes to the blessing of same-sex marriage is this question. And it's a good question for us who are Christians. For we have good things to say, we have God things to say. And as I hope we'll see over the next 3 weeks or so, good things because God is good. He is always good, all the time, God is good. And yet, we may feel that what God has to say is, well, we may struggle. We're aware that our culture, nationally, in our workplace, in our schools and in our families, doesn't want to hear what God has to say in his word. It's increasingly hostile to views that are divergent to the mainstream. So we lose confidence. We can end up being silenced in the debates. We feel uncomfortable because we know our views as Christians are not welcome. So we avoid talking. And we can end up not teaching on the subjects of gender or marriage or sex and sexuality and identity, whether in church, in our own homes, in our workplace amongst our friends. We say it's too hot and I don't want to get burnt. But we have a story to tell as much as anyone else. We have indeed the greatest story in the world to tell. That is of God's love for the world. A love that offers life to the full over both now and in the future. Now, this is the first of three brief preliminaries that we should keep in mind through this series. The first is God is good. His plans and purposes for humanity are truly wonderful. The second preliminary I want to say is we are sorry, because we haven't always communicated the goodness of God. By we, I mean the church, Christianity, ourselves have sometimes spoken and acted not in love, but harshly and with prejudice. We've not been inclusive of all people. We haven't always welcomed those, for example, from the LGBTI plus community. We haven't always treated women with the honour and respect they deserve. And for this, we need to say sorry, whether that's been unintentional or deliberate. And from this, we need to repent and turn back to God and ask for his forgiveness. Second preliminary, we're sorry. Third preliminary, this is personal. We are not talking about an academic exercise in thinking about what it means to be human. We never are when we listen to God's word. It should always be personal. But issues of humanity touch us deeply, touch all of us and each of us. So as we talk together, and I hope we will, that this will be the beginning of a conversation amongst us as we hear God's words to us. Before we talk, let's listen well to one another. Listen to our own story, our own experience, our lived experience, and to do so with compassion, that is with gentleness and kindness, patience, care and concern. With compassion and at the same time with conviction, that is that God is good. And his word reveals his goodness. We have seen his goodness in the Lord Jesus, who always speaks words of grace and truth. This is personal. Now, living in grace and truth is the title for this series. And it's not always easy to hold these two together, grace and truth, compassion and conviction. And it's something to work on as we follow Jesus and listen to him and his word. As we listen to one another and seek to speak in ways that bring his truth to bear in each of our lives. As we think, what does it mean to be human? Now, I realise that's a longer than usual introduction, but I think it's important as a starter for the series. There's a little outline on the back of the service sheet if you want to follow along. Two big points this afternoon. The first is this: we're created by God. We're created by God. We are creatures made by God. You may have seen that in Genesis chapter 1, let us make mankind, verse 26. The us being God, the Trinity. And then in verse 27, three times he says, God created mankind, God created them, male and female, he created them. Now, up to this point in creation, at the end of each day, when God has created, you may have noticed it says, and God saw that it was good. After he has created mankind, it changes. If you look down to verse 31, it says this: God saw all that he had made, that's including mankind, and it was very good. This is how Psalm 139 puts what God has made. Psalm 139 says this: you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. If you've ever held a newborn child, whether your own or someone else's, there is a sense of wonder at this new creation, the miracle of creation. And the Bible tells us that this is God's doing. We are created by him, wonderfully made. And we are dependent. Just as a newborn child is utterly dependent on its mother, so as those made by God, we are dependent on him. He is the one who gives life. He is the one who determines the length of our lives. He is the one who gives us each day as a gift from him. For we're not in control of our lives. Much as we'd like to be, we seek to live as if we are in control, but we soon realize we're incapable, and that is because we cannot live independent of God. We are dependent on him. A quote I read this week said this: to be creatures means that God is the potter and we are the clay. God is the potter and we are the clay. We are, in other words, formed and shaped by him. There was a time at school I loved making pottery. I was rubbish at it, but I loved that sense of taking a blob of clay and shaping it and forming it into something. I remember my teacher asking me, coming around the class, asking me one day, so what are you going to make today? And I said, well, I've got no idea. I'll just make it up as I go along. And he said, that's a rubbish idea. You've got to be formed and shaped with an idea in your mind, which is what God has done with each of us. He has uniquely crafted us, not mass-produced, not off a production line, not out of a mould. Now, just think what this means, that we're made by God. We are not self-made. You know how sometimes we use that expression of someone who's done well, they've achieved something, or maybe they've become very rich. We say they are self-made, but no one is self-made. We are all creatures made by our Creator. And unlike me with the clay on the potter's wheel, I don't make myself up as I go along. I don't create my own identity. That's given me from the very beginning by my Creator, by God. Yet it's something that we're being encouraged to do the whole time. Create myself. For example, how I present myself on my social media profile, selecting just the right photo so that I might be seen in the best light, so that I might get those all-important likes, for I want the approval of others. But what if I get, instead of the likes, criticism and mockery? So I try even harder to create something that will get the likes, and in doing so, create a burden for ourselves that we were never intended to carry, which leads to not to joy and happiness, but actually often to anxiety and fear about who we are, formed and shaped by God. We're created by God and we're valued by him. We're precious in his eyes. We're not unimportant to him. And in fact, we're not just liked by God, we are loved by God. So much so that he would die for us, as we're going to be reminded in the Lord's Supper in a little while. Valued by him because we belong to him. We belong to him. We are his. Let me illustrate this from the movie. I'm taking a punt here, but I guess most of us, certainly if you've got children, have seen Toy Story or one of the Toy Story movies. I don't know which one it is. I'm sure one of you who knows Toy Story well will tell me. But there's a scene in one of them where Woody and Buzz are together. And Woody says, "Who am I?" He's confused. Have I been replaced by Buzz? How will he know? You may remember the answer is found on the sole of his shoe. It's stamped with Andy, his owner. He belongs to his owner. The toys are made for and belong to him. You and I and every single person who has ever lived is stamped, made by God. And in his eyes, as Psalm 139 says, we are wonderfully made. So just as Woody is told where to look to find out who he is, so Genesis chapter 1 tells us where to look to find out who we are. Not to culture, not to our inner selves, but upward, if you like, outward to the God who created us. Now, I suspect for each of us, that will require an adjustment in our sight. Not just once, but repeatedly. Because everything around us screams, look here to find your identity. Look inside. You make up you. You create the person you want to be. Which we struggle to do. We can't settle and find contentment. It's far from a satisfying story because we're trying to do something contrary to how we were made. It's as if we've got a squint. We're not seeing clearly. We need glasses to redirect our sight, to see things as they really are, to look at ourselves not through our own eyes, but God's eyes as revealed here in his word. And the more we do this, we'll see just how good is God's creation. And the God of the universe who has created us. He's created me, he's created you. Well, Genesis 1 goes on to say this, secondly, not just that we're created by God, but we are created in God's image. We're created in God's image. It's not just that we bear the stamp made by God. It's more than this, we're stamped with his image. Every single one of us, every single person is an image bearer of God. Again, Genesis 1, 26 and 27 repeat this so there can be no mistake in our minds that we get clear. Verse 26, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Verse 27, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. An image is a reflection. It pictures, it portrays something of the person from whom it's taken. I have got one here. Take a £20 note. It bears the image of the monarch, or the late monarch, the queen. It reflects her. It tells you something about her. So what are we reflecting as humanity about God in being his image bearers? Well, it's not that we look like God. To be created in the image of God is not talking about a physical likeness of God, because God is spirit. We are to be like him in ruling. Genesis 1:26 again. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Here comes the purpose, so that they may rule. And in verse 28, you see that as well. Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. We are not the ruler. God alone is the ruler of all people and all things. But under his rule, we are given this privilege, this responsibility to be rulers, under rulers of creation. And that rule is exercised as we work. If you look across to chapter 2, we're going to get to this more next week, but chapter 2, verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. The work in the garden would have brought order to the garden, caring for it, tending it, being in charge. In other words, ruling over it, under God who gives us the charge. And this rule brings purpose to our lives, God-given purpose, which is so different to the world's view, which says you create your own purpose. You look inside and find your true, authentic self and live it out. Sounds as if I've been watching a lot of movies, but Elsa says in Frozen, it's time to see what I can do to test the limits and break through. No right, no wrong, no rules for me. I'm free, let it go, let it go. I am not bursting into song. But this is a denial, isn't it, of what we're made for, actually, not to rule ourselves, but to rule under God in his image. And as you think about it, what happens when you don't find your purpose or when you fail to rule over your world? You can end up wondering, what am I made for? Well, Genesis 1 tells us we're made by God to rule over his world under him. And it also tells us, as those created in the image, that we're to relate to him, to relate to him. The Bible is the story of God's relationship with his people. And it starts here in Genesis. And if we're to rule under him, we need to know how to exercise that rule in ways that reflect him, that images him to the world. Therefore, we've got to listen to him so that we might learn from him how to relate to him, which is what you find here in the Garden of Eden, God walking in the garden, talking to Adam and Eve. He isn't a distant, unknowable God who creates mankind, and in a sense, like a stone rolling down a mountain, he just pushes us off, and off we go, independent, to take whatever turn we decide. No, he cares too much for us to allow that to happen as his image bearers. The problem, as we're going to see in the coming weeks, is that we have gone off the rails. We do not live in the Garden of Eden in perfect relationship with God or with one another. And we find it hard to imagine what a relationship with God would really look like. But the story of the Bible from Genesis onwards is of God coming after us out of his great love, wanting to draw us back to himself. That is, to know God and be known by him, the relationship we were made for. And he makes this possible through his son, the Lord Jesus. And more of this story in the weeks ahead. Let me finish with some implications. We've just dipped our toe in. And that's why I hope this will lead to ongoing conversations. But two implications, or two that we could draw out. Firstly, celebrate the goodness of God's creation, of what God has made. Rejoice he has made us, each and every one of us, and that in him is found our security and our comfort. We belong to him. He is with us and he is for us. We're valued by him. And because we're valued, he will never forsake us. He will never let us go. Celebrate his goodness. And then secondly, think about where we look or to whom we look for our identity. For some, it'll be in relationships at work or with boyfriends or girlfriends or spouses. But we've mentioned social media, how tied we are to our mobile devices, to what others think and make of us. The hours we spend scrolling, looking for affirmation and likes and love, and that so often leaves us restless and unsatisfied. Look instead, Genesis says, listen instead to the God who created us, for in him we will find what we're looking for. St. Augustine put it like this: you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Or as Jesus puts it, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That's a beautiful invitation, isn't it? To come to God and learn from him. Let's pray that that will be the case in these areas that touch on us so deeply and so personally, and that we might talk and share together about the implications for our lives. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have not left us in the dark, stumbling around, trying to work out who we are, for what purpose we are, were created. And what am I? That you have revealed this to us in your kindness, in your word here. And Lord, we may well find what we read uncomfortable and unsettling. Yet we pray this week, Lord, that we might see just how good your creation is, how very good it is that we are made in your image, created by you. Please help us to rejoice in that, and please help us to think through the implications of what that means for us in our own lives and relationships. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.